You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of September 9th, 2020, and the S stands for Super Sale.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Abor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And we did it. We found out not the price.
A price
of one SKU of the next gen consoles. Oh, and by the way, Mario is old now. So that's what we're going to talk about this week.
It seems comical, man, like where we're at right now with the pricing thing. Like it continues to amaze me. And the only reason we know now, by the way, is because it was leaked.
Yeah. Well, which is funny because so we're talking about the Xbox Series S.
Yes.
It was funny because there was also leaks a long time ago, like even like I feel like months and months ago there were leaks, and then there was like that leak of the controller, and then like they were just not admitting it for months and months and months, and then finally there was yet another leak, and then they're like, okay, fine, whatever.
Fine, you know what? We'll put it out, okay? You asked.
Yeah, the Series S, Microsoft put out the official launch trailer and showed some renders of the box itself and the controller and everything, and shared that the price would be $299.
Yowzer.
Suggested price or whatever.
They're practically giving it away.
You'd be stupid not to buy it.
The Xbox Series S. So this is the version of their next gen console that has no disc drive.
Yes.
And it sounds like it's also not the same console in specs also, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just that. It's a cheaper unit precisely because it doesn't have the same innards. And it's also smaller, right?
Yes.
I think this was saying they could get 1440p up to 120 frames per second, which is, look, I have a great PC and 1440p monitor. Very few games will ever run at 120 frames per second.
I was just going to say, like, I mean, for what? The next gen Geometry Wars, like what could possibly be running at that? You know, like
exactly. I mean, my computer right now, my PC is probably better than an Xbox Series S, and it doesn't. Yeah. It's not going to run 120 frames per second, The Witcher or something. You know,
yeah,
not
exactly.
Not at 1440p. That's pretty tough. They also said it would up-res to 4K, but it would stream at 4K, but the games themselves wouldn't be 4K. Is that right?
4K upscaling for games.
Which is not what they're offering. Right. Yeah. Not what they're offering in terms of the native 4K that the new console will be.
Yeah.
So I feel like I misunderstood this product. When we were talking about it, when they announced this, because you and I had a conversation, what would you buy? Would you buy a version that's cheaper without the disc drive?
Mm-hmm.
I can now firmly say I don't think I would buy this product because I don't know. I'm going back and forth right now, even as I think about it, whether or not this product is for me.
Well, because this is not the PlayStation model, which is just, the PlayStation, it seems like the SKU is the same. It's just that one has a disc drive and one doesn't. You know, this is like very much a different product.
That's right. Because in my mind, the difference is like, you know, when you're at a restaurant and you get a to-go order and they go like, do you want silverware, plasticware, right? You're like, no, I have that at home. You know what I mean? I don't need that. Go ahead and keep it. Do I have to tip less because you're not giving me silverware?
$0.05.
That is what I think the difference would be in my mind. This seems notably different. What I will say is that $299, that is a very excellent entry level price for a next gen console, which even though it's not as high spec as the Xbox Series X, is still quite a strong, powerful console.
I wonder if it is, you know.
Oh, really?
Because the things that they're touting here, which is
the size, so small. Look at how it fits inside our other console.
That is so funny. When they showed that render of, like, this is basically, like, you could fit four of these things inside the Series X. It's like, it's just...
What I really want to... I want to see the inevitable day where someone takes that image, then cracks open an Xbox Series X, and there's two Series S's inside.
I mean, it's just... there's something just kind of Tetris-like about that image, you know? Like, I just want to fit more in there.
Yep, yep.
But, I mean... I just think they're being very clever about how they position this, because the whole, like, 1440p at up to 120 or 4K streaming upscaling. I mean, I just don't know. It feels like there's going to be a catch here in the way that there's maybe a difference between the current, you know, like the PS Pro and the standard PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
I don't know much about ray tracing because I definitely do not have a video card that can support it, but
yeah,
I was surprised to see that and the fact that they called it like DirectX ray tracing. Like, I don't know if that's a qualifier or if that is just
right.
That's just what they're calling it.
Like, is that the same level of ray tracing capabilities that they have in the Xbox Series X?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but even so, like, let's just setting all of that aside, it's going to be at least as much as the current, you know, Xbox Pro. What are they calling it? Xbox.
The names just don't just come to you, Scott.
Yeah, the Xbox One X. That's what they're calling it.
Yeah.
It's going to be at least that, if not more, because it's going to have to play the same games as the Series X. So
correct. Yep.
You're going to get some sort of bump. It's just I think it's funny that they're starting out the generation with the divide that they ended on, and I feel like this is just going to be a thing forever now.
Yeah, but I mean, is that a problem? You know, like it keeps things accessible, right? I think from my perspective, this is the console that you would get if you can't afford the new one and you want to play with your friends, right? Or you don't care. You know, like, there's a lot of people who all they do is play Call of Duty. They're going to play the next Call of Duty, or they really want to play Destiny. They don't have a hunger for that clean, crisp 120 frames per second, you know?
Yeah.
They're not chomping at the bit for the highest 4K fidelity, you know?
Yeah.
They're playing Fall Guys, and they want to shoot the shit with their friends.
Yeah.
Having a console that is the, you know, the Neanderthal, the like interspecies, you know, like divide between
interspecies. Now I'm listening.
The original, the previous Xbox and the next gen feels like it's quite welcoming there. And actually, the one thing I would say is, with that in mind, I actually would consider getting this if I were using it as basically a Xbox exclusive device that for me to play with my friends, and my real rig was the PlayStation 5.
Well, I mean, I think it makes it even more complicated, because if you care about Xbox exclusives, then your PC will play all, if not most, if not all of those.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they're you know, for something like Halo, cross-platform is going to be supported, because it's all their own ecosystem anyway. It's just, for me, it just makes it even more weird that they're just, come hell or high water, they are trying to make Xbox a service versus a piece of hardware. And this shows it, because there's no way they can be making money off this. Like, $299, I mean, I just... You know, even a modest video card, like, what does a 1080 cost these days? You know, like, it has to be more than that.
Well, how much is, like, the new, like, RTX 3080? It's like $1,500, I think.
I mean, but that's like the craziest one. But like so we're talking about the latest, like, NVIDIA cards that they released. But like the one that is not the entry level, but not the, like, crazy one, you know, the kind of the one that most people will probably target, is like
1080 Ti or something?
Yeah, is the 3080, and it's what, like, $600 or maybe $700, which is obviously, you know, it's a lot of money, but like, it's compared to what you're getting, that is very, like, you know,
yes,
compared to what the 1080s were like when they came out, you know, $700 for something that is a, huge improvement to what you have is not crazy when you think about it in terms of what video cards tend to be. And then if you think about what a console will cost, I think it gives you a ballpark of like what these things must cost, you know, and so the fact that they're putting this one at 300, I mean, that's how much a Switch costs, you know, and that shit is like, I mean, you need to put a screen in there. You need to put a bunch of other things. Like, it just seems like this is a similarly priced thing, but also I don't know. I just have a hard time unless they're great at supply chain management or whatever.
They even had enough space inside the Series S to put a turntable in it, you know?
So, it looks like that DJ Hero thing.
You slap some buttons on the side and you're like, ew. Sweet. I think that's a very good point, that this is the entry level into their service. It's like, here's the minimum that you need to get the Microsoft Game Pass and play whatever fucking game you want.
Exactly.
On your TV.
It's like, we are going to sell this thing at a $100 loss, but if we can keep someone subscribed to Game Pass for a year, we've done our job, you know, like it just, I don't know. It just feels like it's something that they're really, this is just the entry point into their ecosystem in a way that is even more stronger than it's ever been.
So Mr. Businessman hat on. We haven't heard from Mr. Businessman in a while, I feel like. It's been a while. Yeah,
he's taking a sabbatical. He's trying to
raise a family.
I mean, he's creating an underwater city to really get away from everything.
That's probably smart, Mr. Businessman. Two things. One is, do you think that this will sell as well as the main unit, if not more? I mean, certainly that's right. Right.
It has to.
Wild.
$300 is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that's enough. That's one of those like surprise gifts for your kids or nephews, you know?
Right, right. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not a thing where it's like, oh, I'm going to pick up this like Nintendo Classic for $50. Like, that's just like a pure impulse buy. But like $300 is not outside of the realm of possibility for like your favorite nephew.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
only the favorite, though. Nothing for you.
Not the least one.
My least favorite.
Yeah, you get the Game & Watch thing.
second question. Knowing that this is $299 and they've not yet announced the 1X price, how high could they possibly go for 1X?
How high and can still they go?
And still be justifiably affordable relative to this, right? Because it would be strange for the Xbox One X to be priced at, say, even $599 seems like... Hi, that's twice the price of this unit. Is it going to be twice as powerful?
I mean, the fact that they have not announced the price and the fact that Sony has not announced the price, I think the 1X and the PlayStation 5 are $600 at least.
How can they justify a machine that's twice the price? Or do they just not care? Like, then that's really going to be the high-end unit that is the 1X and the Xbox Series S is really your consumer-friendly grade.
I mean, I think, like I said, I think there is probably some trickery at play around what this thing can actually do natively.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, besides just the 4K thing, which is clearly identifiable from the marketing material, like it just seems like there's other stuff, whether it's performance or whether it's the ray tracing stuff or who knows what it is. But like there just has to be more stuff unless they're just taking an incredible loss on these things.
Yeah. So you still think it's going to be $599 for the 1X?
I mean, with every passing day that they don't announce it, really what actually I think happened probably was, if you listen to Microsoft, they are kind of, they're pretty clear that they wanted to be first and they wanted to be cheapest, and they couldn't announce something until PlayStation launched because that way they don't know if they're cheapest or not. So like they're playing chicken there, but this is a way, like there will never be a PlayStation 5 that is $300 until they make a revision, you know?
Right. So this is the inverse of those scenes in movies where people are at an auction.
Yeah.
And someone, they're right. Going up in increments, and then they just say, $1 million.
Right.
You know, way above everybody else. It's the inverse of that, is what you're saying.
I mean, it's kind of, I think it's Microsoft's way of kind of having their cake and eating it too, where it's like they can say, we are the cheapest, but we're also the most powerful, you know?
And we're the smallest.
I mean, it really is like there's no way they can be more expensive. Like they don't strategically, they need to be cheaper than the PlayStation, but they can't be outstripped power wise by the PlayStation. So they're basically playing it on both ends. You know, they're giving up the middle ground to like own the extreme cheap and the extreme expensive, in my opinion.
Oh, man. Okay, well, now that we know who Biden chose as his running mate, I think our new bet now has to be, what will happen first? Will Xbox and Sony reveal the price of their next gen consoles, or will we get a corona vaccine?
Man, well, the PlayStation 5 is going through stage 3 trials as we speak. And
Oh man.
It's pretty, I mean, this stuff is pretty wild. Like, to me, just like how cheap this is for what is theoretically going to play. If you just want, like you said, if you just want a thing that's like, I need to play the next Halo. I don't care about, I don't have a 4K TV yet. I don't have an expensive computer. I just like me some Halo. Like, this is an incredible offering.
Yeah.
And then with the Game Pass stuff, it's like, oh, great. I can buy this super cheap thing and for the price of the expensive thing, I can have several years worth of this service and get all these games, you know?
I mean, you know what? This console cycle, I didn't do it, but the last console cycle, I had both consoles and I played them both. And I think I could see myself in a scenario where, especially with cross saves, wanting to have an Xbox Series S in my living room so I could play on my TV and then move to play those same games on my PC if I want to. And not have to worry about trying to flex on getting the highest, nicest console. Because for the single-player games where I'm really concerned about high fidelity, or even if I'm playing something where the frame rate is a major issue, then maybe I would just switch to the stronger console.
If I were Microsoft, I would consider going even cheaper and putting out another SKU that is
free.
Well, they did that. Remember, they had like a subscription Xbox where like,
oh my god,
cell phone plan. Remember that?
Yeah. You could also, back in the day when GameStop existed, you used to be able to rent consoles.
Yeah. Oh man, what a weird time that was. But I would put out an even lower end of this that is a combination of a streaming box. Doesn't even have, you know, or has minimal hard drive, just enough to handle the onboard software, but also acts as a router inside your house so that you could pump your PC to it.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah.
Because they're already into this idea of like, oh, all of our first party games are going to be on the PC. We don't care where you play. Xbox is, you know, everywhere. But, you know, and they're real, you know, they're doing the Project X Cloud thing, and they're definitely moving in that direction. So it would, what if they put out a $100 Roku style box, but just Xbox, you know?
And that was like, hey, if you've got a PC that will play these games, play them on your TV.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, this is a super easy way. And also, by the way, it's like, this can be your Roku. Like, you can install Netflix on it. You can do whatever you want. Like,
it will
upscale to 4K, but you just can't download games on it, but you can play anything that can stream. Or you can play within your local network on in your house.
But isn't everything basically a Roku device these days? Like, my TV has all this shit. You know what I mean? The only thing that still doesn't make sense to me is how HBO Max and HBO Now are different. But I feel like I pretty much get everything else.
Well, I mean, you know, you're not a rocket scientist, George. You can't be. Don't be too hard on yourself. No one knows the difference between that.
Exactly.
Yeah, this stuff is pretty. I mean, it's cool to see this heat up. Even though it's happening in the most unsatisfying way possible, like drip feed, like we're pulling teeth to even get the details from these companies.
Yep. Yeah. One more thing before we end, but did you like how much the trailer gave off a Death Stranding vibe?
Man, it really, like, weird rock formations coming out.
Yeah, like black ink and stuff. Very monolithic. I liked it.
Oh, man.
All right, we got 10 minutes. Let's talk Mario.
Let's do it. So Mario is, he's an elder millennial at this point, 35 years old, and I want to celebrate this.
I'm surprised I am older than Mario. I mean, we're brothers, basically, Mario and I, you know? But we're close in age.
Man, the long-lost Super Mario brother. Here we go.
So, before we talk about the actual Mario news that came out of the Mario thing, did you try the website where they place you in Mario time?
Oh, what? There's a website where they place you in Mario time?
Well, so they basically, there's a website where you can go and you just enter your date of birth, and then they will show how old you were when these, you know, pinnacle moments in Mario history took place. So how old were you when Super Mario Brothers 3 came out and Super Mario Brothers 2?
Oh, nice.
It's kind of it's a cute little romp through the past, if that's your jazz.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's emblematic of the way that they're approaching this whole thing, which is, you know, trying to think of quirky things in order to celebrate this.
Yes. So one of them is re-releasing the Game & Watch.
Yeah.
Also, this is Game & Watch is $50, aka you could get 6 Game & Watches for the price of 1 Xbox Series S.
We'll let you figure out which is the better value.
Yes. This is cute. I mean, it's another one of those overpriced Nintendo oddities that I'll never buy, but
I mean, they really hit on something where they realize that people are willing to spend good money on novelty.
Novelty and nostalgia.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is even weirder because the Game & Watch games were those weird black and white things, not Super Mario Brothers, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And this is like a liquid crystal color display. Like, it's upgraded. Yeah, it is. You're really paying for the look of this little device.
Yes. More than anything. The physical object is the thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know who the target audience is for this other than people who are also 35, you know, that because like, why would a kid want this thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing that you get for your kid when they're like, I want to switch. And you're like, you're going to shut up and learn your place.
You're going to start until you can beat Super Mario Brothers in less than an hour with no continues.
Yes. Another thing coming out of it, the Super Mario Brothers Battle Royale game.
Oh, man. Yes.
I also discovered today that Nintendo sent out a cease and desist order and took down a game that a fan had made that was this exact idea, and then they stole it and made it themselves.
They sent in the goons and
the Goombas.
Yeah, the Goombas, and was like, oh, looks like you got yourself a nice establishment here, and then just started wrecking it. And then took it.
That's cold-blooded. I mean, this is clearly based off of, really, first and foremost, I think that Tetris Royale. Yes. What was that game called?
Tetris 99.
Yeah, Tetris 99. And the Battle Royale genre, I guess, generally. So, you know, give credit where it's due, which is all games steal from one another.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of heinous, but it looks fun.
I mean, I think the cool thing to me is, like, it'd be interesting because now, like, Tetris 99 is like a style almost, like with these two games, like what would Mario Kart 99 look like, or what would, you know,
Mario Kart 99.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could do this with a lot of different styles of games, make them into battle royales, which would be,
dude, Mario Kart 99 cool. Is a fucking great idea, Scott. Because you can imagine.
Well, I have just in. I've received a cease and desist from Nintendo, so we can expect that.
I'm like imagining the exhilarating moments when you fire the bullet, right? And you're like zooming past as the wall of death like takes the people behind you. You know, that could be very neat.
Yeah, I mean this stuff. Every once in a while I still play Tetris 99. So like I would definitely test out the Super Mario version.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Super Mario 3D All-Stars.
Yeah.
This game actually, I mean, it's obviously exciting. It's very cool to see the, you know, classic 3D Marios, but two weird things. One, it doesn't seem like they're doing much to them. You know, it's not like
It's just Halo. A re-release. A bundle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A Halo or a Monkey Island or any of the games that have done a full remake and visual treatment, and like you could swap back and forth, and like just, you know, like cool things that they could have done. Like, it seems very bare bones in a somewhat disappointing way.
Yeah.
And also, where the fuck is Galaxy 2?
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Weird.
They're just like leaving that one off. Like,
well, it doesn't go well with 3D. You know, 3D. It can't be 4D. You don't
want a 2 in there.
Yeah, like, come on. Yeah, that's
but
a
I mean,
good point.
I thought those, I mean, all of those games are pretty fun, and especially I'd be interested in playing Galaxy again, because it's been a while since I've done that. But yeah, yeah. It's strange. I also wonder how they're going to handle the motion controls.
Probably poorly, if history has anything to say about it. Probably poorly. How about the Mario Kart Live home circuit?
This when I saw that, fuck.
The coolest. Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
This could be amazing, or it could be really shitty.
Yeah, depending, it could break in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, so this is the camera built on an RC car that talks to your Switch, and you can play as though you're actually playing Mario Kart in your living room.
Yeah.
Okay? The issues that could arise are many, and we've seen them countless times, right? It could bad connectivity between your Switch and the cars causing delays or unresponsiveness or a artificially short track for you to actually work on, right?
Yeah.
The camera quality could be bad as it's feeding it to you, so it's a really shitty kind of subpar experience of what you see. Because the trailer is, you know, extremely high quality, but there's no way it's going to look that good, right?
Right.
There could be issues where the cars themselves are poor quality. So like you said, they easily break or they wear down or like gunk gets stuck inside of the you know, the inside parts or the wheels or something, right? Or it could just sort of be a surprise hit. Like there's a chance though that you can set things up in such a way that it feels like you're really playing through your own house, you know? Like, what if you had the Switch with you? Could you take it anywhere you go once you set those things up? Like, if there really are no limitations, you could imagine setting up an obstacle course outside where, you know, you make your own rainbow road and there's, like, ledges that your little trek can fall off, right? There could be really cool moments like that would be so awesome. In my dream canon, in my fantasy world, right, the RC car aficionados out there take the camera off this thing, put it on a fucking souped up rig with like NOS and everything, you know, and just take it to an absolute extreme. I think that would be so amazing. So there's really two extremes with this. I want to be optimistic because genuinely, I really like this idea. I love the idea of miniaturized playing in your house. It's the fantasy that you have as a kid, you know, playing around in your neighborhood. And I think to be able to realize that could be just an absolute treat, I think, for me as an old man with the interests of a child.
I think, I mean, when I saw that, I told Hana, I was like, hey, look at this new piece of Nintendo crap that's going to be in our home. It was just kind of like a foregone conclusion. Like, this is going to be, well, eventually, this is going to be here.
You have this great hardwood floor living room that is perfect for this. Like, when I saw this, I was like, oh, I got to play this at Scott's house, you know?
I mean, it is funny because our living room is basically a long rectangle. And so, like, you could pretty much, like, run it around the couch or, like, you know, through the coffee table and stuff. So, yeah, I was thinking about that same thing. Because the other thing, too, I was wondering, I wonder how fast these things go. And I wonder how...
Soup them up. That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, if I can find a way to hack this and have them just go crazy fast... Oh, I would love it.
The professional circuit, you know, the after modded, the too fast, too furious people that get into the Mario Kart. What do they even call on this thing? Like the Mario Kart live track or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, home circuit, I think it's called.
Home circuit, yep. The home circuit, too fast, too furious people. Yeah, I mean, it's also just Nintendo. I haven't talked about this on the show that much, but I've been playing a lot of Labo recently.
Yeah.
Because Sam's really getting into the sweet spot of that. And I think Nintendo has historically done a pretty good job in integrating the toy side with the video game side.
Yeah.
And this is like one of the coolest looking versions of that I've seen so far.
Yeah, super cool. I also love that the commercial shows people setting up household objects as the boundaries of the racetrack.
Yeah.
Or obstacles in that racetrack.
Yep.
There's a really clever way of integrating this not just into the Mario Kart side of things, but then thinking about your home as a play space and the objects within as tools to build that. Like, it becomes creative in the way that Labo is creative.
Yep.
If it's safe, of course, and if the if the game works with that, I don't necessarily know what will happen if you bump it into something. I hope there's not like an error that you get on your on your console, but. I love that idea. I think it's super rad, and this is probably the most exciting Mario news I've seen in a while. Even if I'll just be alone, like playing this around the house, I think it's super neat.
The other thing that is quick is that they're releasing the Super Mario 3D World game from Wii U to Switch, which is great. That game is great. I really liked it. They're adding like a Bowser story to it too, so there's at least something new to it. So the wildest thing of all of these is the timing. Did you look at any of this stuff?
No. In what way?
Oh, man. I'm so glad I get to tell you this.
Uh-oh.
So both for Super Mario Brothers 35, the Battle Royale thing, and for Super Mario Brothers 3D All-Stars, the three games, the three-game pack, they are being sold for a limited time.
Why?
They're gonna sell them. It's like September through the end of March of next year or something like that.
Why?
They're fucking Disney vaulting us,
dude. This is some artificial scarcity bullshit. Yep. I already have to deal with this with my other Magic the Gathering hobby and the reserved list. You know, like I don't need this in my life. It's bizarre. That's bizarre. It's crazy, dude. Right? Especially when you're releasing you're saying the bundle, the Galaxy bundle.
Yes. The Galaxy bundle is a limited time thing. It is a limited time thing that they are going to stop selling, allegedly, at a certain point next year.
Does that work? Like, does that really work? Is it just convince people that are on the fence to be like, oh, I better get it because I might not be able to ever get it again?
I mean, I'll tell you this. When I first saw it, that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, fuck those bastards. Like, they know that I kind of want to play these someday, and now they're going to make me pull the trigger instead of waiting, you know?
Sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky Nintendo.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, and I don't know if Disney still does this. That might be an outdated reference to our childhood where, like, Disney would put out... Yeah, the Disney
Vault? I think they do.
They must still do it, right? Like, it's such clever...
Now they release Mulan for $30, even if you already have a Disney Plus membership. So,
I guess the line between like, because really, like, there's only a few companies in the world that could get away with this, and I feel like Nintendo's one of them.
Yeah,
you know that they have such sought after franchises that people would put up with that insanity. And here we are, you know.
It's strange to me, though, because Disney is the other one, right?
Yeah.
That you can... The thing that lets you be so consumer unfriendly is that consumers see you as their friend.
Yeah.
You know? It is strange that those two things meet at this location.
That's true, yeah. They're so beloved that they can treat you like shit and you'll still go for it.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. All right. So well, fuck it. I'm not going to buy them then. You know what?
It's a limited time physical version, and they're going to delist the digital version at the end of the sales cycle.
Wait, they're even delisting the digital version.
Yes.
Come on, dude. Like that's crazy? Not even. Yeah, that's ludicrous. It's not like there's even a cost in terms of printing the discs. Right. You know. Weird.
They just don't want to have it on the servers. Like, well, we're really trying to pinch pennies, so we got to delete these like 50 gig games.
Well, when are they going to re-list it? Like the 40th anniversary? I don't understand. Like, what is the logic in terms of when it's coming out again? You know?
I mean, if you want to go full evil, and Mr. Businessman is back from his vacation here, is you then break them apart and sell them separately.
Oh, for more total than their...
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Like I said, I was surprised you didn't hear the news, so I was just so glad that I could provide you this shit sandwich.
That sucks, dude. Okay, cool. I mean, I'm just not gonna buy him. Fuck it, right? Vote with my dollar.
Yeah. Exactly. Vote with your dollar. If the trick is for suckers like me who have kids that are now getting into video games, like, this is such a great collection because it's like it actually is kind of hard to find games that don't revolve around like shooting or beating people up. And yeah, so now it's like, oh, great. These are all great. Like, amazing. I now have a backlog that I can both play video games and spend time with the family. And like, they know it, you know?
Yeah. That's how they get you.
That's how they, yeah. And the one thing that I think could be cool with the limited run of Super Mario 35 is if they do actual seasons of it, where it's like, if it goes away for a month and then comes back or something, you know?
Oh, like every other quarter, you can buy something it again. Like that.
No, yeah. Because it's. I don't think you have to buy it. I think it's one of those things like Tetris 99 that I think you.
Oh, I see.
You, it's just out there.
Was it? You might have
the subscription to do it. But
would you be able to? Oh yeah, because it's free if you have the subscription. I saw that. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, but maybe, I mean, even add so, other...
it's silly to have the artificial limit on that too.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you expect it to be wanting to play it again,
right?
Afterwards, especially if it's good.
Point of a live game, you know?
Well, and you made some guy take down his thing. Now you're gonna like exploit it even more. That's harsh. Free Mario, come on! Hashtag Nintendo Free Mario.
Then Mario giveth, Mario taketh away.
Truth.
So our verdict is maybe on the Xbox.
Maybe on the Xbox Series S, yep.
Unqualified yes on the physical Mario Kart RC car game.
Yeah, two big thumbs up on the RC car. Three thumbs up if you can soup that bad boy. Make it Fast and the Furious style.
And then two big stinky thumbs down on artificial scarcity of digital video games.
Yeah, hard pass. Not cool, Nintendo. Not cool. One last thing before we go. They did announce today a Hyrule Warriors Breath of the Wild prequel. Did you see
I didn't. I never played the other Hyrule Warriors. I mean, I have never really gotten into those. What's the big series that you just fight a million soldiers?
Destiny something. There's like that in it, right?
Man, I really can't. My brain is leaving me. But
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
There is a genre of game like massive beat 'em ups or whatever they're called.
Yep.
And Nintendo made a licensed a Zelda version of that. So now they're doing like one. Here's my problem as a Zelda nerd. We know how this ends. It's set before Breath of the Wild. Link loses, like the end. Like that's how this game needs to end.
But honestly, that's what makes me most excited about this. I love the idea of playing a game with all of the heroes that die. Like that is very cool. I think if they lean into their narrative side of things and just use the gameplay as sort of an excuse to paint the portrait of Link's failure, I think that could be really enticing.
This is the Halo Reach of the Zelda universe.
Oh man, sign me up. Yeah, dude, I love Halo Reach.
Wake me up when you need me.
Exactly, man.
I mean, it looks nice. I mean, even seeing that artwork makes me excited for the next game that they're going to put out. But
To tide you over until Breath of the Wild 2.
Exactly, yeah. Yep. I need the full Breath of the Wild lore experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Games.
Video games.
Man, so now, also, we didn't even say on the Xbox thing, November 10th is the release date for both of these things now.
Yeah, so do you think November 10th is also going to be the One X release date?
I think they confirmed that, actually. I think both of them are on the same day, which now gives us the window between which they need to announce a price for the other SKU.
Well, you don't know that. November 9th, you know?
November 9th, we're telling you. We're going to tell you on November 10th, it's going to ring up. It's going to be a big surprise at the cash register.
I still want to see if Vegas is taking bets on this. I think it would be great.
Oh man, that would be good. The over under on that.
Yeah.
And then now we know a little bit more about what PlayStation is looking at because now they know what Xbox is doing so they can finally stop kind of messing around with their date, you know?
Is Sony going to, I'm sorry, we're going all the way back to the beginning of the podcast. Is Sony going to release the information about the price of their cheaper model before their full model also? Like, are they going to, you know, 1-1-1-1 kind of thing or?
I mean, I don't think that the other PlayStation, the non-disc PlayStation, will be cheap enough to warrant a whole separate announcement. Like, I think Xbox beat them on that, where they were like, there's no way it could even be close to $300 less, you know?
I mean, maybe they're over there in Sony HQ ripping out the insides, desperately trying to shove in, you know, value.
We don't need a cover for this thing, right? We can save 5 cents off the plastic.
Yeah, man. Like, just you're dumping all the contents of your ship so it sails faster.
A lot of people have siblings, right? They can fan the system while you play. We don't need to put a fan in here, right?
I mean, what if it was like, you know, $399, $100 more, and you get an actual thing, just no disc drive? I don't know.
I mean, that would be aggressive, but I mean, it's, yeah, to me, that would be like if they were really out for blood. I don't know. They've signaled that this thing's going to be expensive.
All right. Well, folks, the verdict is still out. I don't think we'll know until this time next month. At least.
Yeah, like a month, like basically 1 month out.
I think 1 month out. October 10th. That will be the date.
Yeah, that's not a bad, because you still have to have something. I mean, you need to like, you need to make advertising campaigns, you know?
Well, and most importantly, right, those have to go to retailers and the retailers leak. So there is a date where you have to make that announcement.
Right.
You could, I mean, but these days though, it's actually, if you're willing to play hardball with retailers and really piss people off, you can hold out on that data for quite a while.
I mean, especially this year, I mean, with all of the stuff going on with the pandemic.
Yeah, like, that's a very good point.
Fewer people than ever are going to be going to these retailers. And if you're Nintendo or Sony, you're looking at GameStop that is like on its last breath. And, you know, Best Buy and Amazon can only buy so many of these things. They probably don't want to have a huge inventory. It's right. Like, sure, what are you gonna do, GameStop? Sell something else? Like, good luck, you know?
yeah. Well, now they can fit so many Series S's in their stores because they're so small.
They can stack them up in a cube, like just one Series X. They can use the old boxes.
They can use the old boxes and shove them. Yeah,
store shove them in there.
Perfect.
Old nesting dolls. We will leave it there for this week. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
ExperiencePoints.net is our website. Come on down, bring your friends, try us out. You can find us wherever podcasts are sold.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.